today's webinar. We're still mess up when we're talking about the internet at the moment, but I'm actually handing over control as we speak to Kathy. She's actually got the she's actually going to be hacking over the moment with
You're great, Kathy.
Okay, but you're having trouble with DipNet too, right?
I'm not hearing DipNet at all, but I'm hearing you, so hopefully the audience is.
I'm going to start with some of these slides that you sent. Let's bring them up. Sorry, this is a little bit. So
it's the 12th.
All right, you want to.
That gold bar annual its lowest point here in the U.S., and we're sitting here just about half past. They say then to rent a home. So projected here by a Moody's outlet for another hotel. Great opportunities, capital growth, as you know, is definitely strong.
Yeah, so what you kind of made.
Absolutely.
Unless you just bought at the perfect time, which many did, and then you've got brought this one on too as well, right?
Yeah, this is kind of a fun one. It's basically talking about affordability as well, but way over on the left, this is a 100-year chart. Now, they're basically talking about, and 1890, a $100,000 home, which in 1890 would have been a mansion, but basically 100 years later, that same home adjusted for inflation is only about $114,000 based on the comparison of
affordability.
Inflation. Yeah.
Ah.
So look at that bar over a 100-year graph. And I looked at this a few years ago, but I keep going back to it because I find it so interesting, and they kind of keep updating it as well. You can see in 2006, we're basically sitting at a comparison to 200,000, and we dropped all the way down to 114. So you look at that 100-year average, homes in the U.S. right now are very, very affordable. Obviously, this is a U.S. chart. And as we've always been talking about, each market is different. The markets that we've been sharing with you folks is obviously usually better positioned than these. But I just find that to be a very interesting chart that factoring in inflation, we're very affordable.
That is a really interesting chart. Thank you so much for sharing that. I haven't really seen it put in those terms before.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all righty. And then we've got this one.
Yeah, this basically just kind of shows that the inventory levels are stabilizing, and it's basically balancing our market. You know, and this is a source put up by Redfin nationally in 2012. There's been a 32% drop in the inventory. Of course, that brings on these price increases we've been talking about, and we've depleted some of that. We're down to 22% reduction right now, so we've kind of gained 10%. That's come along. So the summer, it's projected to kind of balance out, and that'll help to create a more stable market for us. Additionally, they say, you know, consumers are seeing their neighbor's house sell, and they're selling relatively quick and getting top dollar, so more and more people are feeling comfortable to enter the market now and regain that stabilization.
Very good. Okay. Let's see. I don't know if Jessica's here yet. Jessica, are you there? I don't see her yet. All right. And that was your last slide, right, Larry?
That was it. Yep.
Okay.
Just
all right.
One little tidbit.
How is the market in Florida these days?
Definitely rebounding. Believe it or not, our unemployment, which has been so in trouble, has definitely improved in the first part of the year. We are actually now running below the national average. So that, as you all know, has been a big indicator here. So getting that under control definitely puts Florida in a very strong position.
Yeah, okay. And I know that you just changed, there's like a new change in Florida, right, as far as it's going to be possibly easier for banks to foreclose?
Yeah, they've been doing a whole lot of stuff to make that happen, and we'll see if it actually does happen, but it's supposed to be a much smoother, quicker process.
Yeah, Florida is a judicial state, and it can take, I don't know what, 3 to 4 years to foreclose, and that was part of the reason why there was so limited inventory and
Correct.
Just a backlog of people living in their houses for free, but that could change. And how do you think that might affect the Florida market?
Well, I think as that opens up, that'll definitely open things up. Like you said, it's been almost a strategy. It's really kind of a shame. You'll see people put homes for sale on the market to follow protocol, if you will, but they won't even allow showings. They don't want the things to show. They're just basically trying to create free living. And that's been going on, like you say, for 3-4 years. But as that starts to open up, it'll hopefully start giving us a little bit more inventory. As you know, the whole country's kind of short on inventory right now, and hopefully that'll help out a little bit, although the numbers are down considerably over the past, so I don't know. It'll give us some help, but it's not going to be a lot as far as inventory.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Do we have, let me see here, who are we looking for? I think it's either Ray. Ray, are you here yet? Or DJ? You here? Okay. All right. Well, we don't have them here yet. I know they were maybe having a little trouble logging in, but we'll just wait a minute. Just want to, hey, and when Ray or DJ, when you guys show up, just go ahead and, oh, maybe they don't have a login yet.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Reed was in today, and hopefully they're there, because I want to share some kind of exciting information on my last trip to both Pittsburgh and Cleveland. I just got back last night, hadn't been out there in a little while, and a lot of, well, Pittsburgh is just really booming. Have you been out there lately, Larry?
I can't say as I have, no, but I'm looking forward to adding that to my my journal.
Yeah, I'm just a little surprised at what a nice city it is, and at night, you know, it kind of looks like this picture, just, you know, just colorful and beautiful, lots of lights, the river. There was a big concert in town, and there were just that river was full of people in their boats just partying, and the whole town was just full, and bars were packed, and I was just kind of surprised at what a vibrant city it is. We drove by Google, the Google office, which is just, I believe, just in North Pittsburgh, but don't call me on that, but very close to the universities, and I was just amazed at the values. So I've been saying this to our Americans. I try not to say it too much on any of the media that I'm on because I don't really want the secret out yet. That I really don't, because every time I say something, you know, that people go in and buy and leave nothing for us. And these days, you got to be careful about that, right? Limited inventory.
Very true.
So, Pittsburgh and Cleveland are just some of the best deals I've seen in terms of rental income versus what you're putting in to it. But we got a really interesting opportunity to see a little something in between the two cities. So I don't know if you all have heard this huge boom with shale oil, because the U.S. is trying to get control of its energy, and shale, you know, turning shale into fuel is very, very expensive, but war is even more expensive, perhaps. I don't know, but it appears that the U.S. has decided to start digging up the shale, and in spite of the expense, and maybe the machinery has gotten to a point where maybe it's not as this has become an income source for the U.S. So the north, the area in North Dakota has been a huge boom market because of the shale that has been found there and the energy resources. And a lot of people say, well, why aren't we buying properties in North Dakota? And my answer is, have you been there? And I shouldn't say that because I haven't been there. Larry, have you been there?
I was born in North Dakota, but yes, North Dakota is.
Wait, are you joking?
No, I was actually born there. I visited
remember.
Quite often because I have a lot of family there. But yeah, it's a whole lot of nothing out there. It's flat, and heaven forbid, don't ever go there in the winter because it's wide open terrain, and the snow starts falling, and it blows, and there's nothing to have a 30, 40-foot drift, you know, running across the road.
So it's probably not like a destination city or area state.
Definitely not, nope.
And South Dakota neither.
It's good for oil and resources, and that's about it.
Yeah, so kind of a lot of investors went in there, and there's this whole thing. I mean, we've been contacted by these groups that are building barracks almost for the workers up there. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, the cash flows are amazing. And maybe it's something we'll present because for short term, you know, it looks like those cash flows are going to be nice because those people need a place to live. And, you know, and they're making a ton of money. It's kind of like some of the mining towns in Australia where you guys have, you know, provided housing for that. But as we've all learned, when you invest in an area that is really dependent on one industry and that industry slows down, oh boy, the real estate investors who went to those areas are in big, big trouble. And that happened in Texas, as we know, in the 80s, where Dallas and Houston were extremely dependent on the oil, you know, money. And then there was a recession, and Texas was hit hard because they were too reliant on just energy. And that's why Texas has had just a major turnaround when their leaders said, okay, we need a little more industry here. And they made it very, very tax-friendly and corporate-friendly. And, you know, now I think Texas has the most headquarters in the country. So they've learned their lesson. And I just am uncomfortable investing in a place like North or South Dakota where, yeah, there's energy, but it's not. There's nothing else. There's shale, and there may be better resources elsewhere where people don't have to go live in difficult climates like that. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this to me is extremely exciting. It's fairly new. And I don't think much of the world has caught on to it, not like the investors who've gone to North and South Dakota, but I think they're going to be really sad when they find out that they could have been in a way, you know, way nicer place. So with that, we've got DJ on with us. Are you there?
Hey, Kathy, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. Can you hear me?
Yep, yeah, I can. Sorry okay. about that. Yeah, am I coming across okay?
You're perfect, and your timing's just right, and we're just going to jump right in, because I was just saying that I got back from Pittsburgh. What we've been doing lately is combining Pittsburgh and Cleveland on our tours, because we found out that Megabus is a two and a half hour bus ride, and it can cost as much as $2 to get from Pittsburgh to Cleveland on Megabus. So we're kind of excited about that, and so, you know, we went there, and I met DJ a while back. He's very networked in the National Real Estate Investor Associations, and mainly in Seattle. I met him at the RIA up there, where this is how I met you. You walked up in front of the room of hundreds of people and kind of said, "Hey, you know, how many of you have bought through me in Pittsburgh?" And a lot of hands went up. And he said, "How many of you were happy?" And a lot of hands went up. And he said, "If you weren't, would I be standing here in front of the room?" And, you know, of course, everybody laughed. But it was just a sign that, you know, you've got a lot of happy investors, certainly in the Seattle area and all over the world. I think you're working with a lot of Canadians. So you've got, you know, we've known of you and about you for some time, but what we didn't know was this new area called, not new, but new to us, called Newcastle in Pennsylvania, which is on the way from Pittsburgh to Cleveland, and I got a chance to see it. Was very happy that you gave me that inside scoop.
Yeah, it kind of opened up our treasure chest to you a little bit, but no, I'm glad. I'm glad you got a chance to spend some time out there with Ray and to see the area, and because, you know, like what you were saying, a lot of the areas that you can buy stuff at I don't like to use the word cheap, but undervalued, they're just a little dirty, they're maybe a little depressed, or they're really dependent on one job source or economy, you know, for their as far as for the workers. And so yeah, I'm glad you got a chance to you know, see that get a deeper view on that.
Well, absolutely, because I know you've been playing in the Pittsburgh market for a while, and of course we love Pittsburgh, and it's, you know, it's just a great city. And then, you know, when I was there, you said, "Well, I really want you to see Newcastle, which is an hour outside of Pennsylvania." And I was like, Okay, you know, I know Pennsylvania a little bit, and I'm pretty sure that there's nothing out in the countryside, you know.
Yeah. There's some Amish and buggies and trailers, but.
And that's what I was expecting, and that's not what I found. So I'm going to just kind of scroll ahead here so we can talk, and of course here's the disclaimer, which is always check with your own accountants, advisors, attorneys to make sure that anything we tell you is you know, right for your specific situation, and of course the past does not equal the future. We do our best to predict the future, but you know, I'm not calling myself a psychic yet. And of course, while we make every effort to maintain accurate and current information, things change on a daily basis. So this is information we're telling you today in June of 2013, and if you're listening to the recorded version, always check in with Jessica or one of us at Real Wealth Network to make sure that what you heard is what is still the case. But here's a picture of our speaker today, and it's DJ with his beautiful family. Is that your family?
That is, yes. Uh-huh.
Beautiful family. So tell us a little bit more about you.
Well, I, and if for some reason, Kathy, you guys lose me, I was actually planning on doing this through my iPad, and I didn't have an internet connection, so I'm tethering it through my phone on my Mac. So if for some reason I lose connection, I'll bounce right back on. But so I was born in 1971. No, I was my background was playing baseball. I was just on the verge of breaking through into the major leagues. In the mid-1990s. My son was born, who's there in the photo there, the bigger one. He just turned 17, actually, and he was born and had some breathing problems in life. Not having a dad growing up and everything, life kind of took a different turn. And so I was just faced with a decision, you know, do I want to take care of him or you know, take the chance of not being the dad that my brother and I really wanted. And so I made a decision to be with him, and things have worked out great, so no complaints there. But so I knew once I got out of ball, I always had this love for real estate, and I knew I wanted to get into that. So I started a company in a different industry, in the security industry, in the around little before 2000, late 90s. And then shortly after that, I got into real estate as an investor, and I started buying some properties. Living here in Seattle, I bought some properties, really inexpensive, out in Ohio and Pittsburgh and Michigan. And out of all the areas, I just really liked the Pittsburgh area. It reminded me a lot of Seattle. It was very nice. It was super clean, and I was shocked at how beautiful it was, to be honest with you. And so out of all the areas, that was kind of the region that we selected. Now, back then, as an investor myself, I didn't have any clue on the oil and gas, you know, explosion that was going to take place like it has now. So the economy was super strong. It was, you know, we knew that we liked the Pittsburgh market as investors ourselves. This is back, you know, over 10 years ago. And the reason we liked it was very diverse, as you know. It was, you know, the economy is a lot of tech companies. It's kind of the East Coast tech hub. And it was just because it wasn't dependent on, I briefly heard you, because I jumped on a little late, but I briefly heard you touch on an economy being dependent on one source of kind of, you know, strength of job market, like maybe the auto industry or something. But if that goes, that's when, you know, downturns and depressions kind of hit, and real estate takes a big hit. And so the thing I liked about the Pittsburgh area as an investor myself was it was very diverse. It reminded me a lot of Seattle. And because of that, that's where we kind of, you know, put our stake and said, hey, this is where we want to invest. This is where we want to do things. And so a little over 10 years, you know, we bought some properties, and we went through, you know, dealing with contractors that really didn't have a clue, and dealing with property managers that really didn't have a clue. But, you know, from that, I just had a vision and said, man, if we could have a, you know, once we worked through that and found the people that we could trust and realized, man, this could be really good. But the struggle that a lot of people have, you know, investing far away, is they can't find someone reliable that they can trust that's not going to run off with their money, you know, fixing the place, or a reliable property manager that really, really has a good grip and knows what they're doing. So my vision back then was I started having a lot of people come to me and want us to get them properties that we were getting. I said, geez, you know, I better start a company. So that's what I did, and from that we really developed and honed in on all the weaknesses that and the pitfalls that can be that someone can run into or come across. And really we put the piece in place to take those away, take the majority of the risk, if not all of it, out for the investors, where we get them the property, we know it, we've been through it, we fix it, we, you know, essentially do everything A to Z. And really that's more or less, I'm probably getting a little too far ahead of you, but kind of where it started and where we've gotten to now.
Fantastic. Okay, and I think you just went over this. You analyze every property extensively, including the neighborhood, condition and market value, purchasing good homes in good areas. That's so important. We've really learned that lesson, that a good deal is only as good as the neighborhood and the property management of it. And of course, you have any exit strategies, and this is one of the things I think a lot of our listeners are going to be very excited about, some of the creative strategies you have between rent and hold with cash flow, fix and flip, which there are very limited of, so don't get too excited about that, people. And then rent to own lease options, which is one of your specialties, and we'll talk about that in a minute. You want to talk about your process?
Yeah, so, the thing, I mean, as you saw, Kathy, meeting, you know, and getting to know our team and things over time here, the reason that you know, we've been very blessed and fortunate to be successful is we have, we are investors. And so people, we've been through the challenges, and so people, you know, we've created, I never planned on, the funny thing is, and I've told you this before, I never anticipated on having a company that did what we do now, that had all the people on our team that we do now. Never, ever in a million. I just wanted to be an investor. But it's been, I mean, it's been awesome. And it's, you know, we've learned how to be successful from challenges. And so what we've done is we've put this process in place that the people, we get the properties, you know, be it from a bank, a clearinghouse, you know, whether it's B of A or whoever, estate sales. We work with about 45 estate attorneys out there, and so we have a lot of different sources. And so we get the property that fits the investor's needs, not ours. And, you know, one thing that we really are careful on is the area, because, you know, you can fix a house, but you can't move it. And so the thing that we've always focused on is location. We try to stick in really kind of the, you know, some people, everyone has a different perception of what a B area is or neighborhood, but we really try to stick to areas that are nice, you know, really nice. Well, you've seen the areas we buy. And the reason that is if you buy in kind of a lower income area, you're limited on your options. You can really have one strategy, and that's to rent it and kind of hold it long term. But you're going to have turnover, you're going to have kind of a lower clientele. And so by buying in, there's still the lower price points, but buying in the nicer areas, you have a lot more options. If people want to leverage the properties, the comps are going to come in higher. You know, you can rent them, you can rent to own, lease option them, which we specialize in. And eventually, you know, that's where people are going to be buying or are buying. And so it's just, you know, finding the properties is just kind of the you know, the first step. Then we have Ray in place, who you've met. He's a contractor originally from California. He's been out in PA for about 7 years, and him and his wife and kids, an awesome, awesome guy. He oversees all the renovations, so we know that the money's safe, that it's going to our source that we work with for many, many, many years. And we don't have to worry about someone, you know, running off with money, and it's not going to happen, and it hasn't happened over 1,000 transactions. So we get the property for the people that fit their needs and investment desires, and then we renovate it. Some of the properties come renovated and with the tenant in place, which, you know, happens. If it doesn't, we renovate it, and then we place the tenant, and we have, I have my own management company there on the ground that I own, and so we, the gal that runs it, Liz, is awesome, and she, you know, screens the people, takes the apps, meets them, does the showings, and then places the tenant, and then we manage it long term where the checks come in, we send them directly to the investors, and it's, yeah, it's a really smooth process, and you know, we sometimes, I mean, you know, Kathy, sometimes when people hear, you know, returns of, I've chatted with you about this, when people hear, you know, oh, you can make these net returns of 10-20%, look at this deal, you can buy it for this and fix it, and you can rent it for this, and isn't this great? And on paper, it looks really, really good. But the when the car starts driving and the rubber hits the road and the thing squeals off into a ditch and you're looking back 2 years later and going, holy cow, what, you know, I had this contractor run off with money and I had this manager that didn't know what they were doing. And that's why we've created just a great following over the last 10 years or so is, you know, we have the track record, we have the history, and we, being successful investors ourselves, we understand what needs to be done. And we treat other people's properties like it's ours. And so, you know, as far as placing quality tenants that we feel comfortable are going to take care of the place and be there long term, and on and on. So, yeah, the net average returns of 10-20%, you know, we've had some that have maybe realistically been 8 or 9, and we've had some be 25. But, you know, those are real numbers and not inflated or more on the conservative end.
Okay. So we have a few slides in here on Pittsburgh, and I don't think we really have to go too much into that because most of our people know about Pittsburgh. But, you know, here's a few things. Low home prices in good neighborhoods means a much higher return. It's the 52nd most livable city in the world, apparently. Most livable city in the U.S., low unemployment rate. It's not 4% right now, but I think it's around 6%. Do you happen to know what the current unemployment rate is?
Oh, it's I don't know, Kathy, right now, to be honest with you. I'd be mm-hmm. lying to you if I threw a number out, but I know it's very, very low.
And the
reason is having our own management company, you know, there's more people. The thing about there is we buy out there, there's more people that are moving there than there are houses, because no one's really building, and because you can buy something for less than you can build. So the great thing is you got more people moving there wanting housing than there is housing, which obviously drives the rents up and the values and everything. So I don't, but as far as unemployment, I know it's very low. I'm not sure what it is, though.
I think last time I saw this. Yes.
Kathy, DJ, it's John. I'm yeah. just filling in for Dimna. Tom Bencho from Pittsburgh was just out here, as a matter of fact, in Melbourne, having a look at Australia generally. And I had the opportunity to talk to him about Pittsburgh, and he was saying that on a per capita basis, Pittsburgh is currently the fastest growing city in the U.S.
I believe it.
Yeah, he was also... He was also saying that there are more people working, more jobs in Pittsburgh at the moment than there were in the halcyon days of Pittsburgh being a steel city back in the 70s. He's kind of saying that it's really on an upswing at the moment.
It definitely feels that way. I'll tell you, it was, you know, the city was alive and bustling when I was there. I was quite impressed. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I've been there. My daughter, my ex-husband is from there, so my daughter's a huge Steelers fan and is there every summer and knows Pittsburgh well, and so, of course, I do too. But I am very impressed with the changes. So thanks for adding that. And anything you want to add?
No.
Speaking of...
Go on.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, from an Australian's perspective, many people would not have been to Pittsburgh, but you generally feel that if you like Melbourne, you like Pittsburgh. It's they're very similar cities in a lot of respects.
Interesting.
They've got
okay, and
the cafes, the restaurants, the river, just the whole place has a very, very similar feel to Melbourne.
Interesting. Okay. So, you know, again, DJ does do deals in Pittsburgh, so we thought it would be good to have two teams. You know, we of course, have a great loyalty, DJ, and I want you to know that, to our other team, TJ. This is confusing because we have DJ and TJ. Tom and TJ, we've been working with them for a long time, and, you know, sometimes you don't find what you're looking for, so it's always good to have two providers. But the area that we're talking about today is just outside of Pittsburgh by about an hour on the way to Cleveland. So let's kind of move on to that, and here's a map. You've got Pittsburgh here, and you want to be driving or taking the bus or whatever, you're probably going to come, I don't know, one of these routes. So it's a little tiny bit out of the way there. But this is a little town called Newcastle. And what is going on in Newcastle? Why are you finding so many deals there, and why is this, out of all the towns around Pittsburgh, why are you focused on this area?
You know, Kathy, talk about Steelers fan. I'm sitting in a room right now with looking at a Pittsburgh Steelers steel curtain autographed. Anyways, I'll get way off subject. I can't. I better stick to the subject. No, Newcastle. What we knew about the oil and gas explosion because one of our attorneys out there said, if you guys can buy housing and land and focus on Lawrence County, which is kind of Newcastle's kind of the hub of Lawrence County, you guys will make a fortune. And we were, you know, okay, yeah, sure, you know, and because, you know, everyone's, and so anyways, long story short, fast forward now, and thankfully, after a couple of talks, we listened to him and really focused and honed in on that area and market, because that area, it used to be, you could see from driving there, you were there. When you go up on the north side of town, these big, massive houses, and that, back in the 70s in the steel mills and things, that used to be a very, very wealthy area. Then when some things occurred, it you know, wasn't. Now it's returned to that. And so even though it's outside of the city, it's because it's in Lawrence County where there's a lot of oil and gas. The area was good 6 years ago. I mean, we loved it, but had no idea that what was going to happen has happened. There's land surveying companies that have come in. And this is like a, you know, 150-year project. This isn't a here today, gone tomorrow job thing. And so due to that, it's just, we've just seen this area that was already nice, and the neighborhoods were nice, and it was just a great great area, great town. There's, you know, it's got a large hospital, Jameson Hospital, where a lot of people do their internships to go to the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which is a big, huge employer, obviously, there in Pittsburgh, as you know. And so you have the Jameson Hospital, you have just a lot of, you know, standard businesses, like Home Depots and Walmarts and things like that. And the town is just really clean, and it's just an undervalued, you know, area that obviously is went up now, but and it's still continuing to go up, so there's still a lot of good deals to get there. But it's just because it's outside of the city, and sometimes depending on where you're at in the city, you know, the city can get really, traffic is you know, can be a little bit of a challenge in Pittsburgh with the tunnels and all that. And so you know, there's more and more people that are wanting to get out of that can and have the ability, and they're moving out to areas like Newcastle and these areas. And so there's, you know, Newcastle, they have a racetrack casino that's been planned for many, many years. It's finally, from the sounds of it, going to be coming. And even if it didn't, that would just be like icing on the cake. But, you know, the area is just a great area that is very stable, and it's just, it's very clean. And that's, you know, when people can buy a house in an area that is really clean and really kind of a true kind of B, even maybe an A minus area, for the prices that you can get out here, you know, through us in the areas like Newcastle and some small areas around it, it really is kind of eye opening when people see it. And
it is. I got to tell you, the clean part, I could not believe how pristinely clean this little town was, and the like flowers, just like this, you can see in this picture, these flowers hanging all down the streets. I mean, somebody cares about this city.
Oh yeah, yeah. The code enforcement is the nice thing is the code enforcement out there is very very strict, which is a good thing, because you don't have the reality is there's some investors that are, I guess, I want to say slumlords, but they really don't care about their properties. They don't take care of them. If there's a hole in the roof, they don't fix it. They don't, and so this area, it's very, the code enforcement is strict, but it's a positive thing, because, after 8 years of investing there and hundreds of houses in that city alone, we have a great relationship with them, and due to that, they know that if we get a property there, that it's going to be taken care of well, so they don't really ride us like they might some other out of state investors, and so due to that, the town stays very clean, and when you have a clean town like that, it attracts when people move in from out of state, whether it's a tech company or the hospital, oil and gas. And they see these areas, they're just like, wow, I can buy this house for this, or rent for this, and they're going up quickly. But yeah, it is. It's really something.
And I mean, the oil and gas is what has really got my attention. They're finding it all over these natural gas lines and the shale oil. And like I said, if you want to be in an oil boom town, why not be in one that has a lot of diversity, is close driving to both Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Columbus, and then has numbers like this. And wait till you see the photos. But here's an example of a rental property. And again, these numbers are maybe going to be a little shocking to you. It shocked me as well. But would you say this is – I hope this next picture has it. All right, there's one. For some reason, we don't have a photo on this one, do we? Oh, we do. There we go. It was just covered up. So you can see the neighborhood. The houses are really cute. The neighborhoods are cute. It's hilly. It's kind of surprising. Pittsburgh is very hilly, and the surrounding area is as well. So when you're up on the hill and you're kind of driving down and looking at the city with the old churches and everything, it's really, really beautiful. So you could buy a house like this for $29,000, renovate for $10,000. With a total of $39,000 and rented out for $625.
And was this a B class area or a C class?
I would say like where this house sits. I mean, you could see the area down below the neighborhood. I would say this is right in. And when I classify the areas, the outskirts cities like this, a C area, is a lot nicer and cleaner than maybe an inner city C neighborhood, just because it just is. But this is probably kind of a CC plus kind of neighborhood. This is by far kind of the middle of the road. I mean, we're not going to throw out like our best stuff, where people just go, wow, because it's, this is very normal and average as far as, properties.
Yeah. So that would be a typical price range for a C-plus area.
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
Here's another one.
Yeah, and that's kind of probably in the line of like a B neighborhood. And that's how we bought the property, Kathy. So that was before it was even fixed. That was how we bought it. That's how our investor bought it.
Wow. So that's why it only needed about $8,000 in renovation.
Yeah, it didn't need much at all.
That's incredible. I mean, these are just, I'm telling you, the homes were so cute. I was blown away. Not just cute, I mean, they're big, spacious, old wood, really quality built. I was blown away.
Oh yeah, the big the old original hardwood floors and the big chunky wood. I mean, stuff like even the pocket doors in some of these houses, they would cost a couple grand. you know, and these big heavy pocket doors that people just go, oh my gosh, like those are beautiful. And you know, it's just, it really is. I mean, the construction of the homes, they definitely don't make them like they used to.
And here's another owner financing. Tell me about this. Is this something that's available to us?
Yeah. So one of the strategies that we utilize for our investors is having rentals is, you know, obviously the kind of predominant thing because the values are going up, the rents are going up. So having, you know, rentals is great. But this is actually a strategy that I really perfected, and I think Ray mentioned to you, about 5-6 years ago. And so an investor can buy a property like this. This guy actually that bought this lives in California, coincidentally, and he's a real estate agent. He bought it for $38,900. He put $12,000 into it. And this monthly income, what we did was he got $5,000 down. We got him $5,000 down, and we sold it on a what's called a contract or a land installment contract. But basically, what it does is, in its simplest form, it allows the – so he was into this for, you know, roughly $50,000, $51,000, we sold it on a contract for $90,000, so almost double. And he got $5,000 down and up front, which typically it's $2,000 to $5,000, maybe sometimes a little more even. And then the great thing about this is the payment of $665.98, that is his net, because the person that's buying it, they pay all the taxes, they pay all the insurance, we set it all up, so they pay the taxes, the insurance, all the utilities. If something breaks, if a furnace goes bad, if the roof needs replaced, it's completely on them. And so there's no expenses. The property owner, the investor, they get their check every month, and they don't have to worry about a tenant moved out or a faucet broke and leaked and caused a bunch of damage and I got to fix it. So it's a really nice option for people that maybe don't want to have rentals, or they've had, and a lot of people love rentals, but some people just don't want rentals. Because maybe they've had a bad experience or something, you know. So this is just a way that people can still earn a really high return and not have to worry about the pitfalls of having a property. Basically, you're more or less kind of like the bank, essentially. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It's you're basically buying the house, so you own it free and clear, and you can become the bank on it. Sell it for a much higher price as a seller financing, get the down payment, and everybody's happy. Now, is there ever a chance that it doesn't actually get fulfilled, that they're not able to?
You know what, Kathy? Everyone that we've done, when the investor buys it and it's fixed, we actually do the marketing for them, find the buyer, negotiate the terms, do the contract, so they have to do none of that. We place them in there and they get their money and down payment, and they start getting their checks every month. So it's beautiful from that regard. Out of over, oh gosh, I don't even know, 300, 400 of these that we've done over the years for investors, we had one go bad, and the person was out in about 45 days, and the person the investor that owned the property turned around and he said, hey, find me another person. We turned around and placed another tenant. He got another $3,000 down, mm-hmm. and we cleaned it up for like $500-$600 or something. There's a few little things it needed, and he got another $3,000 down, and then he got more on the second time when we sold it. And so it's kind of like, you know, if for some reason, I mean, the real world happens, you know, life happens sometimes. People get divorced, they may lose a job. And if that happens and the people do end up moving on or we get them out, the nice thing about this is the investor stays on title. And that's why we use this certain strategy in these certain contracts, because the investor and property owner stays on title. The person that's in the house, they don't go on title until that loan is completely completely fulfilled and paid, or they refinance it or finance it conventionally, and then they cash the person out, and then they've made, you know, whatever, 20, 30, 40, 50 grand. And so, worst case scenario is if the people end up, you know, moving out, all you do is, you know, clean them up and turn around and resell it again. So you actually, it sounds funny, but you actually would probably make more if it did go bad, because you turn around and resell it, you get another down payment.
Fantastic. All right, now here's a multi-unit. We always have people asking about these. Are they plentiful, or is this a rare opportunity?
Oh, yeah, no, we get these. We get multi-units. I mean, not, you know, every day, but, yeah, we get stuff every week. This this particular multi-unit was a triplex. Whoops, are you there?
You there?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, this particular triplex, we got this for an investor. He bought it for $54,500. The monthly income was $1,200 a month, and you could see the gross annual was $14,400. And, this ends up, if you look at the numbers down below in the blue, this ends up being about a 20% return. And this property that we got from the investor, it was fully rented, and it was individually metered, which is obviously important when you're dealing with multi units. And it was something that, as far as coming into this, are all of them, you know, fully rented? Now you might have a triplex and, you know, two of the units are rented. We got to rent one, which isn't a big deal. But yeah, this is an example of a multi unit. And I think Ray had, you know, shown you some too, Kathy. We have experience both in small multis, large multis. We own an apartment building down, you know, in Pittsburgh. So, we know what to look for on them. Obviously individually metered, and be it gas or electric or certain things that really make it work. And yeah, multi-units are great, and we get access to those, and we can get those, you know, for investors as well.
Just to just cut in there at a moment, DJ, I've just had a couple of questions, and I'm not sure if Kathy's seeing them. Do you see the questions, Kathy? She's disappeared.
I didn't see them, but I'm here.
There was
can
just
you hear me?
Yes, I can. There was just a question about on that.
You want me to read the questions, or you want to?
Well, I just wasn't sure if you were seeing them or not, or whether I was seeing them and you weren't. There was just one question about the net on that.
I see them. Go ahead.
On that owner finance, one DJ just had a question saying that the net seems high, and what would the gross be on something like that? Like, what would the buyer be paying in the way of outgoings? They pay all the outgoings, which is, does that include insurance?
Say that again.
Does the on that previous owner finance one that we just looked at, the one before the one we're looking at now, the net seemed to be high, and that's we're assuming because the buyer is paying all of the outgoings. But do the outgoings?
The buyer pays everything. They pay for the insurance. They pay all the utilities. They pay if something breaks, and there's no management fee. So that check every month, that goes directly to the investor.
And so they're paying all the maintenance as well on the house.
Yep, absolutely. They're paying the maintenance. They're paying. And here's the cool thing. They pay the taxes, but the way that we set it up, because the property stays in the investor's name, the investor gets the tax write-off. Because the property is in their name, the taxes are in their name, the person that's buying it on a contract pays the taxes, and that's monitored. We set that all up. That's part of what we do. But the owner doesn't even pay the taxes, and yet they get the tax write-off on it, which is pretty cool.
Yep. And what would, like, we're looking at a property now which is $54,000, without sort of labouring the point about A versus B versus C areas, is there kind of a price break that you would expect between the different class properties?
As far as like the, how, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean the nicer, you know, like anywhere, it doesn't matter where you are, I mean the nicer the area. You know, you're, the more that you're going to pay. That's probably, I'd put that in the BB+ neighborhood.
And how much actually, would, yeah. And how much would they cost normally?
That was actually a, in a,
go ahead.
Sorry.
I think the question was, what would about the price differences be for the A, B, and C?
Yeah.
They can, you know, gosh, I hate throwing out numbers and, but, you know, just understanding that they, as long as everyone knows that these can vary, but maybe a C, you know, area, the purchase price, you know, before, you know, maybe the fix up, the purchase price can range, you know, maybe 25 to 35, in the, B neighborhoods, maybe 35 to 45, and kind of the B plus A minus areas, maybe, you know, 45 to 55 thousand.
Yep. So those numbers are quite low.
Oh yeah, yeah, a lot lower than, you know, for the quality of the neighborhoods. And Kathy, you were able to see. I mean, we've been buying in the Newcastle area for almost 10 years, and we've seen, you know, that what it's done and what it's doing now. And the nice thing is, because it's outside of the city, we could still get the deals, you know, from the banks and things, for investors, and it's still undervalued. I mean, it's on the rise, don't get me wrong, but you can still get really good deals. That if these were in these quality of neighborhoods in the city, like in, you know, Bellevue or Ross Township or certain, I mean, they'd be 100 plus, you know, 1,000. And so, so does that answer that for you?
Yeah, that's fine. Just wanted to get some sort of rough idea of what the spread of prices were.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's really shocking. I mean, this, you have to keep in mind that we're talking about the middle of, you know, Pennsylvania, between Pittsburgh and Cleveland, and you know, that those, you know, homes tend to be cheaper out there. But what is new and different about the whole situation, and this is going to affect our Cincinnati provider, they're having the same type of thing, is this finding of energy resources out there. So just imagine how that's going to affect the area, where it was just really more of a very distant suburb in the past, but now it's really become a destination.
Yeah, to give you one example, and One of our investors from California, funny enough, gosh, all these California people. he bought this was about 4 years ago. He bought 80 acres, okay, he got a smoking deal. It was like $450,000. He's already been offered over $2 million for his land, and he's super wealthy. You know, multimillionaire, and he's not selling. So, at least, not yet. So if that gives you, you know, just a little bit of an idea, you know, I mean, he might end up selling it for, I mean, who knows what, you know, $5 million, you know, in the near future. So that region, be it, you know, whether it's land, whether it's housing, you know, not only are the values going up, but the great thing is, the rents are going up, and being that we have our own management company, we know how to make sure that we're always on the cutting edge as far as monitoring the rent rates of the units. So, because, you know, the reality is, a lot of people, they, you know, we buy some properties and we're like, man, they should be rented for $700, and they're renting it for $450, and it's just, you know, they just haven't raised the rent in 10 years. And so being able to monitor that is great. You know, we have a good pulse on it. So Every year we reanalyze things, and if the rent, you know, needs to go up, it goes up, and we do that, you know, for the investor as well.
A question came in, the net seems high. What are you calculating in that net? Is there maintenance? Is there vacancy? Is it just the, you know, yeah, I mean, what are your, I think on any of them, what kind of expenses are you including in this to come up with a net?
On the rentals, everything. On the rentals, everything. And you know what? Listen.
And everything being insurance, taxes, maintenance.
On the rentals, we figure all the standard costs that someone have, vacancy factor, right?
Okay.
Which we figure at 5%. So you have vacancy factor, any taxes taxes that are paid, any insurance that's paid, the management fee, and then any deferred maintenance, like, you know, a sink breaks or something. So we figure really all the factors that need be. And I know, Kathy, you know, from doing this long enough, I know that, you know, because sometimes when someone's, you know, exposes something new and it sounds too good to be true.
Right.
You know, I totally understand. And that's why some people, when they come to us, we tell them, listen, you know, obviously we've got a great track record of you know, over 1,500 properties invested bought. We, you know, own a ton ourselves. Go through one and test us. Go through one and see that what we're really telling you is. And then once you do that and you're happy and you're comfortable, if you want to get some more, we're happy to obviously do that. But we tell people that are new. And we have, we were just talking about this last week, we have over 70 investors that have bought three or more properties, and we have over 20 investors that have bought 10 or more properties.
Yeah, and I'll verify too. I saw these. I walked them. I saw the finished version. I mean, these homes are as beautiful, and the neighborhoods are as beautiful as they look. The cleanliness, the low crime. I mean, it really is hard to believe. Even if you, it all works out very nicely, because when you come here, it's all very close driving distance, and there's something happening in this part of the world. And again, it affects our Missy out there in Cincinnati. It affects our team in Cleveland. It affects our Pittsburgh team, and now this sort of in-between area. Something is happening, and I think these areas are really going to pop. Even if they don't, and I'm totally wrong, the cash flow is enough to keep you happy forever. But there is a chance, very good chance, that values will increase as well. So we're excited about that. Now, a question came in, will you reply to our emails after we purchase, which tells me that maybe this person didn't get that treatment, which can often be the case. You know, they're all over you when you're purchasing, and then you don't hear from them when it's done. And I can tell you, when I went to Seattle and I saw you were in a very large real estate investment group there with over 200 people, and many had worked with you, and they all loved you and were, you know, big fans, and that says a lot right there.
Yeah, you know what, Kathy? That's our, it's not just about getting a deal or a good deal, you know, good ROI. It's really about caring about people. And we, you know, you've obviously met Ray, you met Rebecca, you met everyone, and that's what it's about. You know, if you're buying the best deal in the best neighborhood, but you're dealing with the wrong people, you're in trouble. But if you're buying in a good area in a good neighborhood and you're dealing with the right people, I mean, you can do real well. And we absolutely, I mean, all of our investors have my cell phone. That's why, you know, I don't really have a life outside, but all my investors have my cell phone, and, you know, my assistant's cell phone, Barb's, our emails, we talk to people. I mean, what starts out as business, because we talk so much and we're in such communication, emails, I mean, every single email I get every day, is returned. Every phone call, is returned. And, sometimes I'll have to have some of my team help, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in touch with people, and a lot of times what starts out as business, you know, probably 90 plus percent of the time ends up being building into a friendship. because you know you're talking a lot, you're taking care of people, and really, yeah. So I guess to answer that question, yes, we will return the emails and the phone calls.
Okay. Hey, we are definitely out of time here, so we'll just wrap it up. But here's a couple of success stories. I'm going to leave this up here, everybody. Just take a quick read. We do need to wrap up. I told you that I would only take 20 minutes of your time, and we've taken much more than that, so I apologize for that. But it's been really a pleasure having you here. I'm sure people are going to have more questions. Always feel free to send them over to Jessica. She'll be happy to respond. But I'm excited for you guys to come out and see this, see kind of that whole area there. Take a trip and see Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and stop by Newcastle. And you're going to be pretty blown away. And your biggest problem is going to be figuring out how to get enough money to buy as many as you can.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, that's the predicament I find myself in, is I liked everything I saw in all three of those cities. And just if I could just be a big hedge fund manager with a few billion dollars, I'd have a lot of fun. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, DJ. John, is there any other updates or questions or anything we address?
No, I'd just like to thank DJ as well. That was a very interesting look at a town that I don't think that Australians actually knew existed. I know I drove from...
Well, we didn't either.
I drove from Pittsburgh to Cleveland on one occasion to avoid the airfares, and I must confess I like the area. It was quite nice countryside, but I certainly didn't see any towns, just freeways.
Right. Yeah. No. I hope you can come back and check it out. I expected a real podunk town, and I was shocked to see that it's a real city with real buildings.
What was the population? Did I miss that?
I don't think we mentioned it. Do you know, DJ?
I can find out real quick.
No, it doesn't matter. We can Google
it.
It's
got one traffic light. No, I'm just kidding. It's a good sized city. It has, you know, a super Walmart, Home Depot, multiple car dealerships. It's an outskirts city, but it's decent size. It's actually the fireworks capital of the world. That's where like all the, you know, Walt Disney, like Disneyland and Disney World, and that's where the family that actually makes the fireworks, and that's what it's known for. Actually, it's the firework capital of the world, Newcastle. So now it's a lot more than that. But that's what it's kind of always been, you know, kind of known for. Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing for you.
So, yeah, if you have further questions, just contact Jessica, jessica.s@realwealthnetwork.com or info@, that'll get to her as well, info@realwealthnetwork.com. Jess, are you there?
I'm here. I don't know why, but it didn't like me earlier. I'm here, though.
Okay, no problem. I'm sure everybody knows how to reach you, I hope, at this point, but do you have any updates that you wanted to share in this last few moments?
Right now, I just want to let everybody know July is very full for tours as well as August, so anybody planning to come out, you might want to look closely at September since the other months are getting pretty full.
But if they absolutely must come this summer, you'll be able to work them in?
I will be able to work you in. Just don't show up, you know, without letting me know.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that because Jessica's being way too nice right now. A lot of people just show up at the door when she's got meetings with people and tours scheduled. And our affiliates, I mean, bless his heart, DJ, you know, we've already thrown a lot of last-minute stuff on them, and they really need time to prepare. Our affiliates are busy buying houses, looking at houses, renovating houses. This is not like a real estate company in Australia that you can drop in at any time. We must have notice. Please don't drop in on Jessica or any of these teams. We need advance notice. And so that's been one of the things that's been a little bit challenging for her. So I know she's not comfortable saying that, so I'll say it for her.
Thanks, Gabby.
Yeah, and you can't even buy anything if you haven't done your proper preparation. So, and that takes a few weeks. So you really need to make sure you've spoken to her. Anyone new to the system, really just make sure that you've contacted Jessica and gone through all the proper setup so that when you do arrive, our teams are ready for you. They have properties ready for you. She has time for you. And everything is coordinated nicely so that you don't get a look of shock and horror on someone's face when you show up at the door. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right.
Shut it down. Okay, thanks, everybody.
Thank you all so much. All right, take care. Thanks,
bye.
DJ. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.